this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir. How we doing? How we doing? Big win. At OT, under the lights, European nights. Wish it was full. 75,000 people chanting, screaming. Marcus Rashford coming off the bench, scoring a hattie. Just what a game. 5-0. Rolling over FC Monster Energy Drink. Carabao, whatever. But a huge win in the Champions League. Stage 2, sir. How you feeling?
I mean, I said it last podcast. Not too worried about, you know, FC Sully, sir, RB Leipzig, the coach wearing the suit on the sidelines, showing up like a chump. They played like chumps, slapping around the pitch. Sir, the excuses earlier in the season, there's no preseason. We're talking about practice, sir. We are back. Manchester United are back. Always at the wheel, man. Rio Ferdinand said it the best. We are back, baby.
Ollie's at the wheel, man. He's doing it. He's doing his thing. Man United are back.
He said it, sir, and we had to play our way into form. I think we talked about that 4 weeks ago. We're not getting ahead of ourselves, but this team put out a great performance today. Shut down an RB Leipzig team that everyone was talking about big time. They came out swinging, but we put them down. Put them to the sword, sir. Brought on the heavies when we needed to. Brought on Bruno and Rashford just to kill the game off. And Rashford's like, hey, I'm a man on a mission. I'm going to score a hattie tonight. He just looked like unplayable.
Look, I said it, Ole streaky. I think we're on a streak. You know, the Chelsea game wasn't what everyone wanted to see, but I like I said, we bossed Chelsea. I think we had the better chances. We looked good. A lot of rotation, a lot of fixtures, a lot of big games. Dude, two games, PSG, RB Leipzig. When we got the draw, we're thinking maybe draw and a loss. You're going away to Paris, you're going to lose. You're going to maybe draw RB at home, maybe get a win. That'd be a good scenario. Boss both games, beat them, sir, top of the group. Setting the mark and a lot of players stepping up. I think that's one of the things as a United fan, we get in the transfer window madness. It's like we're collecting baseball cards over here. You know, Arlie, you're playing FIFA career mode. You want Messi on your team. You want all these good players on your team, but you got to let players play in the form. Mason Greenwood played great tonight. You know, Telles looks like a player. Cavani, the jury's out, but you're starting to see this team gel. Van de Beek looking great in the midfield as well, playing a diamond. Ole learning on the job. Getting the tactics right again. Exciting times at Manchester United, sir. I'm going to say let Ole cook, baby. We got the ingredients.
I mean, I like that. I think you're definitely right about, you know, Ole being streaky. United's always been a streaky team in some senses. We've gone on like these historic runs often to clinch a league and do big things that we've done in the past. But I think you also said another positive thing that's absolutely true is he's learning on the job and you're seeing it. He's becoming a better manager in front of our very eyes. You've seen it in these Champions League games. We're still figuring things out. And you know what? We're past moaning about the window. The window is the window. The team that we have at our disposal is a good team, and it's getting better and better by each game. And the people that he brought in weren't just players. He brought in personalities. And it's the right combo, and we're seeing it start to just come together. And this Ferrari is starting to get into second gear, sir. And we got other gears because we got to start showing in the league is the next thing. We got to start smashing our rivals. And this Arsenal game is a big opportunity to do that.
We got a weak Arsenal, sir, you know, like limping in like a wounded baby deer. They're there for the taking, sir. Manchester United, we're about to gobble them up. I'm not that worried about Arsenal. Chelsea, it's a shame we didn't get the three there. But it's not always going to go your way. I think that's what you have to take the positives and kick on. This fixture list is so challenging considering the Champions League is coming fast and furious. And the fact that we're able to almost get to qualifying in our group in the three first games, right? Ole said we need 10 points. Istanbul, done and dusted. We're going to get 9. So once Champions League is in the rear window, I think we can focus on the league. I'll open things up through the holiday season, which is kind of where we need to be looking towards.
Yeah, I mean, you want to be able to compete on both fronts. So he's starting to show that he's got an ability to rotate. Maybe it's a holding midfield. That's what it's all about, and having an actual 10 that plays a 10. But whatever it is, it's starting to come together now. We do need to keep it going in the league, but we've played ourselves into form, and it seems like United's got some good options at our disposal, sir. It's exciting times ahead.
Yeah, and a big win at home. That's something that we need to be shouting out. Big win at home. It's sad to not see the fans in the stands, but we'll get to that a little later. Old Trafford might have fans soon, depending on how the UK government rules. But let's jump in. Quick PSA for the podcast, sir. American Red Devils for fans, by fans. We're a little biased here, sir. You know, we're going to sing the praises of this team and this manager, especially when you win 5-0 in the Champions League at home. Check out our blog, www.americanreddevils.com. We also have some amazing merch. If you click on store, we have the 2020-2021 scarf, greatest of English football. We want it all. We got hoodies. We got shirts, sir. We got stickers. We're going to be doing more merchandise, a lot of exciting stuff there. If you want to support the podcast, not only can you purchase some merch, but you can also drop a review on iTunes. This is very easy to do. 5 stars. You send us a screenshot of it to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com. We will send you a free sticker, logo of the podcast, and subscribe on YouTube, sir. Did I miss anything?
So the Glazer Out gear is flying off the shelves. You know, people still remember that window, so you can check out our website, AmericanRedDevils.com. Go to our Shopify site, pick up a Glazer Out scarf, pick up a 2021 scarf. We've won it all. Check out those trophies. Whew, might be too long to that next trophy, sir, but if you need to wrap yourself in the history, it's the best place to go. We're on to the game, sir.
No, and we might be talking, might be adding a trophy to that scarf this season, sir. You never know, but let's jump into it. Manchester United 5, RB Leipzig 0, sir, at Old Trafford. That's right, the Champions League music under the lights, sir. Get us started with those tunes.
Tell you what, sir, after you thump last year's semifinalist 5-0 at home, nothing like that music still getting me pumped up even after the fact.
Sir, you kill the music? We should be keeping it going.
It's still going in the background.
Okay, there you go. Look, it's got to be the French horn, sir. When the French horn drops on that track, you know, that really gets me going. Me and Alex here on the Skype doing the conductor motions. We absolutely love it. The feels, the Champions League music at Old Trafford is a special thing. We've only been to one Champions League game, sir. It was when we lost against PSG, but I'm glad that we are back and winning big at home. Lineup, sir, Dave says world number one in net. You love to see that. Wan-Bissaka, the Spider on the right side, Lindelof, Maguire, Luke Shaw on the left, and then the diamond midfield from Ole, Matic playing CDM, Fred on the right, Pogba on the left, Van de Beek in the hole, Martial and Greenwood up front, sir. What'd you make of this lineup?
It was different out of Ole. You know, I wasn't expecting the diamond. Haven't seen that quite yet. I was excited to see Donny get the start. Donny with Van de Beek. I don't know if he was going to go for a 4-3-3 or a 4-2-2-2, like some kind of weird hybrid system, but it kind of switched around throughout the game. But I was excited about this formation, excited to see Maguire in the kind of like the standalone standard back four that we need to be playing with, so no complaints to me. And Matic, finally, it's been a long time. I think he's getting some rest, but having him start was good to see.
No, I think McTominay was originally on the list for the Manchester United Twitter account, and then Matic ended up coming in. I don't know if that was an error or something happened. Either way, good to see Matic get some playing time. I like the Van de Beek start. I talked about resting Bruno, I believe I did in my starting 11 last podcast. Van de Beek deserves to be the main man at home against RB Leipzig, and he did a great job, sir. Also, the Pogba-Fred combination, everything worked in here. Ole has to look at this. I think when you're looking to Arsenal, you got to play the same type of formation. Everyone's like, how can you get Pogba, Van de Beek, Bruno on the same in the same lineup? We said maybe is he going to go the diamond. He went with the diamond, and it worked great against RB Leipzig, who came out in the 3-1-4-2. Not sure how many times that formation has been played, but their head coach, Julian Nagelsmann, he is like playing FIFA ball with RB Leipzig. 3-1-4-2, putting everything forward. Obviously, you know, Ole countering that, trying to own the middle of the park with Matic, Pogba, Van de Beek, and Fred. I love it. And it came off. I mean, there are certain parts of the match where you could see the press, the six attacking players for RB. That press was very effective. When we could play out, we looked really dangerous in behind with Greenwood and Martial.
No, I totally agree. And I think it was Fred dropping into the two with Matic. And whether it's Matic or McTominay, having that midfield two behind, either it's Bruno and Van de Beek or Pogba and Van de Beek, you know, that, you know, you need to have strength followed by creativity. And it was just, it was an abundance tonight. So it was good to see that combo. They see the midfield switch around. You saw the attacking players move around from front to left to right. And there's a fluidity to the game now that Ole's trying to play. And he's always trying to switch it up. So he's changing formations mid-half, and he was doing it today as well.
Yeah, you're right. At times it was the 4-3-3. You know, at times it was, you know, the diamond. I really thought that the structure was good. And this is what we're talking about, playing yourself into form. There's a lot of different players. Everyone's kind of getting to know each other. And Ole's starting to getting to know what formations come off for Manchester United. And this was a huge success. Sir, you know, the suit that Julian, the RB Leipzig coach, wore to Old Trafford. I mean, this reminds me of, what was it, the FA Cup final when Liverpool wore those white suits and Sir Alex Ferguson famously said they already lost. Show up wearing some Willy Wonka suit like you're the man coming into our house. I mean, who do you think you are?
I know. I saw that and I was like, oh, we got to stomp him. I mean, you see that, you're like, he deserves to get stomped. And a 5-0 victory is appropriate. You don't show up with a jacket like that unless you're like a Champions League winner. And it's just an ugly jacket too. It's one thing to be loud. You also just like, you got bad taste. Show up to OT.
Outfit. It's like, come on, man. You didn't win the Champions League last year. Exactly. And it's like, you know, that's why I like Ole. He's, you know, he's just wearing the down jacket in Manchester. He's not kind of getting a little flashy. But Julian, you know, he looked the part of the chump. He played the part of the chump. But talking about some chumps that we all know, CBS All Access, sir. I don't know how God. You watch the game. We got a comment on this before we get into the X's and O's. But whenever I log into Amazon Prime Video and click on it, there's like literally 9 channels, and none of them are labeled as to what matches what. So I literally have to click on every single one to find out where the Manchester United game is. I mean, what kind of Muppets are running the show here? Why can't they just put this on cable? My parents can't even watch the games these days. I can't get them to do Amazon Video.
I mean, I'm still doing it through the CBS All Access tied to our account because I can't bother that. My issues are generally with just like the people they have halftime, pregame. That's just like a cast of characters. And then even the color men during the game, you know, I don't know. But anyway, they're nickel and diamond fans every chance they get. Another login service, sir. When you got logged in, how was it? Did you enjoy your viewing entertainment experience?
No, I mean, once I get logged in, it's great. I get to watch Manchester United, but the hoops you got to jump through every single week, and you got to look, is it on the Peacock? Is it on the XS? Is it, where is it? Where are we watching it? I mean, I just rather just turn on the TV and, you know, change the channel. But this is the plight of the American fan in the UK. The plight is the pay-per-view, sir. They got that $14.95 per match. I mean, that's, I'm surprised they're not out in the streets protesting that one.
They still might. I mean, it's pretty new, but it's crazy. I mean, that's a new one. Imagine what they're going to come up with in a couple of years. They're going to just keep ratcheting up the amount of dollars they pull out of your pocket on a day-to-day basis. Just enjoy the greatest team.
Where you basically pay a package for Manchester United. At the end of the day, that is the most fair, you know, way to set up the TV rights, is that a fan would pay a package, pay like £200. They get to watch every United game. And then the more fans that purchase that, the more money of the rights Manchester United gets, right? And that would be fair. Clearly, football is trying to restructure right now. It's all based on this selling the rights and stuff like that. But I do think that idea of just paying a team, that's the right way to do it at the end of the day.
No, it probably is, and it might go there eventually. Right now, I mean, it's going to be interesting where things flush out, but it's certainly a power grab that's trying to be had by the big clubs in Europe, and not just exclusively in England, right? Because this whole, like, UEFA or FIFA, you know, cup competition, that's not going to be good for anybody.
Nope, yeah. But sir, we got a match. We can complain about streaming services all day. Let's jump in the first half.
We had a football game going on, and the game, it was open from the jump. Both teams were looking to press super high and kind of take it at each other, you know, play it out of the back if you're going to do so. Sixth minute, it was an early chance. Actually fell to Fred at the edge of the box after a free kick, took a flexion, actually forced the keeper into a save, but it was a nice early chance for United, and it forced the keeper early.
No, Fred was on the jump here, and he actually hit it on target. So, I mean, credit to Fred. I think he looked great in the diamond. You know, we've been asking a lot of questions about Fred, but when you got Matic back there to bail you out, those Fred kind of like, you know, one or two mistakes a game aren't going to lead to a goal. You know, Matic can kind of pip in there, and I thought that Fred going forward did look better because it was Fred getting the ball to Pogba, Fred getting the ball to Van de Beek, and that's more of you're starting to see kind of where he would fit in best in a Manchester United side, and I thought he played great today, sir. That's right. I am complimenting Fred on the podcast.
No, and I think it deserves a special shout-out. He did play exceptionally well. He did misplace a couple passes in the first half, but he was doing so well defensively that he started just, like, gaining confidence, and his passing got so much better as the game went on. And he's also just locked down. When he's playing this confidently and he's tackling this well, dude, it's very dangerous because you can give the ball to a Bruno or a Donny or a Pogba, and all of a sudden you're on the break in a second.
Exactly.
And then again, actually, speak of the devil, in the eighth minute, it was a great chance for United after Fred intercepted the ball. Martial had a great, like, opening early, had Greenwood open for, like, a square ball, but really just made the wrong pass, a little too much juice on it. But it was a really good early chance after the El Pastor pulled off a good interception.
Sir, this is what we call the red card rust. Martial, he's not playing every single game. And this pass is just wide open, sir. This is as easy as you like. Tap in, City. Tap, tap, tap it in. And I was a little frustrated here. Martial couldn't score that one. But, hey, it's early in the game. You know, we're looking good, getting good chances. You just got to let it ride.
Exactly. I mean, you'd like to be able to score that goal. I think Marcus Rashford scores that ball to Mason Greenwood, no problem. It's 1-0. But we didn't have to wait too long, sir. In the 21st minute.
SG and put them in a good position. Pogba, Greenwood's in a very good position here, and he's such an efficient finisher back in the lineup tonight. And you sense that goal means a lot, not just to Manchester United, but to the goal scorer. Pogba playing a big part with a beautifully weighted pass here.
What a goal for Mason Greenwood. What a pass from Paul Pogba. Edge of the knife stuff. They checked through the VAR, but it was certainly onside. Good for Mason to get a great goal, great finish. First shot, I believe, in Europe results in a goal, as it would.
This play started from a tackle from Fred, sir. Fred, with a great challenge, gets the ball to Pogba. Pogba, great ball into Greenwood. Mason, sir, as cool as the other side of the pillow. What a hit. He just like, I'm just going to roll this one in off the far post. Mason Greenwood, automatic. He needs this goal. You saw it. The Sully. How he looked after that, it meant a lot to him. He's been through a lot. Ole backed him in the press. And he gets this goal from Manchester United. Tight call. But that's why we pray to the VAR God, sir.
Because you know what? When they're right, they're right. And tonight they were right. They were just confirming the fact that it was the accurate call made. It was onside, but it was a great goal. He needed that goal, and you're absolutely spot on because he needed the go-ahead, needed for his confidence. He ended last season so well, all the hubbub over the summer just to get that goal the way it was, just like ice-cold finish in Europe. Dude, welcome. Welcome, Mason Greenwood. What a player we have.
Yeah, this ain't Europa League, son. This is Champions League, and Mason Greenwood making it look easy. Manchester United making it look easy. And it's like, sir, I mean, we're bullish on this pod, but it's like, bye, bye, bye.
I'm buying, buy, all about it. And that was after this good chance, actually, in the 24th minute from De Gea. RB broke, but De Gea shut it down with a nice save. That was really it for a lot of the activity for the first half. United kind of struggled to get the ball out of their own half, but they were willing to just sit back and defend. RB weren't doing much, but it wasn't much going for the second half of the first half. But I don't know. What do you think of it going into halftime, sir?
No, I thought this was going to be, you know, the RB Leipzig press was interesting. They had more possession. They had more shots than Manchester United. But I think we had the better clear-cut chances. Again, I would always defer to XG here, so I was pretty good. The only thing I was worried about is can't make those defensive errors. Set pieces. Those are the things that I'm worried about. I'm thinking Pip in a 1-0, getting the clean sheet, you know, maybe get that second goal killed off. But it's really sort of don't concede here at home.
Yeah, totally. Because, I mean, we were the better team. Like, I hate to say it, but RB Leipzig is like the the Chelsea of Germany, bro. Like, they were soft as tissues. They were just falling down left and right. Like, they got swatted. They'd pretend they got hit in the face. I guess soft is the new hard these days, but whatever it was, United were just whopping the floor with RB Monster Energy. So anyway, second half opens up a little bit more open. RB in the 49th minute pushes early, and actually Shaw came up with a nice block. He had a good performance. The whole back four, sir, had a very nice performance today.
That's what you like to see. And that's one thing. As a fan, we're freaking out about the defense the first couple of games, and now they're stepping up. You know, maybe the scrutiny, the pressure cooker, is starting to make some diamonds at the back for Manchester United. So you love to see players stepping up, playing well. What a performance by the defense.
Speaking of which, how about Slabhead? Like, he didn't look like he was fucking around today. From the walkout to the last minute, I don't think he had a smile on his face. And I like that because even he knows the captaincy is at risk for him. So it was a hell of a performance for him. He was just like, he wasn't being fussed about. Their striker just kept going down, falling over, bro. Harry Maguire, big match performance.
Shout out to the Slabhead.
Anyway, 51st minute. Now is United really starting to turn it on in the second half. United with chances. Martial dribbles in. He actually had a really good opportunity. Ball bumbled around. Greenwood had a shot saved by the keeper, but it was a good chance. Followed up 52nd minute. Shaw put in a great ball that Martial should have done better on. Good headed chance for him, but it kind of just squirked through everybody and no one got anything on that, sir.
This season, Martial's only good heading into our goal, not the other goal.
So far. But he might have heard you say that. So now he's got like a bag of beautiful header, not against Arsenal because he's not playing that game, but the following game. Double sub, sir, 63rd minute. Rashford and McTominay came on for Matic and Greenwood. I thought this was a good sub. Matic got his 60 minutes. Greenwood got his goal, 60 minutes. Bring on the boys.
No, exactly. I like the Rashford coming in, injecting some pace. We all know what Rashford's been up to off the pitch. Absolute class act. Get him a goal, sir. Get him two, maybe three.
Make it, Trey. I don't know if you saw the highlights or the actual in live, but Kieran McKenna was giving him very specific highlights or instructions about how to get behind the line, and that seemed to be followed to a T. But actually, right after the double sub in the 65th minute, David De Gea was pulled into a big save, jump ball. RB player gets ahead on it and goes really close to the top corner, but De Gea in looking fine form these days, sir. Vintage stuff from him.
Yeah, and you know what? You bring in Dino, you put the pressure on De Gea, and he steps up. But that's what Manchester United of old always was, is if you make a mistake, there's somebody else that's going to take your place. Everyone fighting. Like you say, sir, iron strengthens iron. Not sharpens iron. Iron strengthens iron.
It works for me, sir. Following which, who's the sub? I mean, this is the sub that might have unlocked the game. 67th minute, Bruno Fernandes comes on for Donny van de Beek, who had a great performance today, very tidy. I think he kind of faded a little bit in the second half, hasn't had a lot of 90-minute runouts. So bringing Bruno on, I think it was the right move, iced the match, and Donny did well.
And I like this sub from Ole because his intention was to kill off the game.
Exactly.
Best defense is good offense. We know it. And Bruno, sir, he's got 23 minutes to just unlock the D. He's got Rashford. He's got Martial. You knew something was going to happen with Bruno on the pitch. And, you know, Bruno, Portuguese Magnifique, goes.
There's only one Bruno. And I think they could tell in the first 60 minutes that this ain't no PSG, bro. I mean, like, PSG can bite you like a scorpion with Mbappe and Neymar. I don't know. This team didn't show much. I think a couple times where, like, they could probably beat you on the break. But I think we put the flame out.
Sir, you listen to the podcast?
I know. They're gonna beat us. They're going to beat us in Germany.
Sir, I need a clip. I need like a way to get the your statements from the last pod. You're like, oh, we can't underestimate RB Leipzig. This team ain't nobody. That's what I said. This team ain't nobody. We're gonna dust them. That's what I said.
Monster Energy Inc. What was I thinking, sir? Right after the sub, Martial almost gets a goal after Bruno tries to dink it over for a free kick. He was right almost on the end of it. It almost needed like the most minute of touches, sir. It wouldn't have taken much.
We saw this at City last year, or maybe at home against City, sir. The Bruno's got that little dink kick. I love it. If it works, keep doing it.
Exactly. And then, sir, in the 74th minute, his name is Marcus Rashford, MBE. It might be Sir Marcus Rashford someday soon.
To find this lifeline, Leipzig. But the flag has gone up. Whistle hasn't gone. Rashford's put the ball in the net as he's supposed to do. Now the whistle goes. And VAR, one would suspect, into the monitor, because this is a matter of fact, not a matter of interpretation. Rashford, clearly.
A couple of fine young strikers have done the damage for United tonight.
So they didn't show any more of the highlight, but basically VAR looked at it. It was behind the halfway line, so therefore he was not offside. The goal stands. Marcus Rashford. Nice little goal.
No, and it's exactly what we love to see. Marcus is a class act. And a great goal. I mean, he comes on and he's trying to get another. And then another. And the best part about this is that he was in his own half. You know? And it's like, time to run to perfection. And then he kept going. You know, even the linesman was wrong. He kept going. He finished. And VAR takes a look. We saw this one. Aubameyang did it against us.
Yep.
And this is the whole new thing. You pray to the VAR gods, sir. That's why we pray to the VAR gods.
And he's showing that steady touch that Ole talked about when he first became manager. That, like, he needs to guide it into the net sometimes, not just whack it. Even though he showed a bit of all of this tonight. But that was a nicely guided goal, right? The goalie came out well. But Marcus was having none of that. And then a couple minutes later, sir, 78th minute. He's not done yet.
Could be in again. Rashford's in again for 3-0. It is. What an impact. He was a super sub himself, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Turning out to be a hammering for Leipzig.
Well, this boy can do no wrong, and this is brilliant. Just shifting the ball pass to the Meccano, and he just knew he was going to score here. There's power, there's precision, no chance for Galassi.
No chance, sir. You say the center back's name, I'm going to butcher it if I try to pronounce it, but we've been attached to him for a long time. I think his transfer fee just went down about 10 million quid.
Say it, sir, say it.
I can't say it. Dayot Upamecano.
Upamecano, he just said it, you know?
Yeah, I was focusing on what I was going to say next.
I think I called him Up Campo. But now I got it. Upamecano, he looks like a good center back.
No, he does. He certainly does.
Going forward, you can imagine, the only problem is what's the price, right? No one can deny that we would love to be linked with him, but we only got 50 million in the bank, so we're broke. No fans. We're losing money. Glazer's taking money out of the dividends. They're signing Antonio Brown for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're all in on the Buccaneers to win the Super Bowl if you're here in the United States. And so they're kind of probably not going to be splashing the cash sort of in Europe until they either get the Super European League sorted or they get more TV money in England. However, that's going to go down. Wait and see. Regardless of the Glazers out, all that nonsense, he's a great defender. And could you imagine him, Maguire, Lindelof, and Twanzebe, they're all firing, you know, four solid center backs. That's what Manchester United need.
No, he got exposed a couple times tonight, right? The Greenwood goal, obviously, Marcus just did him dirty, but he's a player. And you could tell he plays a different position with RB, right? Plays like really aggressively forward, was pushing forward a lot all day, but he's a player. He's a tidy player, really good at United. Whether or not we get a fee sorted, that's a whole other thing altogether, sir. Anyway, after the goal, 81st minutes, double sub. Love this. Bring Cavani and Twanzebe, old guy, young guy, and like apparently new best buds on for Pogba and AWB. I like this. Pogba had a nice game. AWB's been killing it. Need some rest. What do you think about the double sub?
Love getting Twanzebe a run out. Cavani, that I just wish he didn't get the number 7. You know, in all honesty, I just wish he didn't take the 7 because that's almost like the jinx, the fan in me. Like, you know, there's a reason why we don't buy jerseys because we curse players. You know, we pray to the VAR gods. We're superstitious on this podcast, sir. And that number 7 almost just has me worried because I'm just waiting for the first goal. I know he's only subbed in twice. I know he hasn't got a lot of touches on the ball, but still it makes me nervous for him. That's all I'm saying.
For his sake. Not even for ours, for his sake. Because it's just, it's such a, there's such like so much bad juju around that number since Ronaldo left, really. So he's back against the wall, bro. I'll tell you that.
Sir, I'll tell you what. Somebody's got to take that number, and I'm glad it ain't Mason. I'm glad it ain't Marcus. I'm glad it ain't Anthony Martial. So somebody's got to take the L. Maybe it's good Cavani took the 7. You never know.
You never know.
Those 3 score 20 each, and then you're like, Cavani 7, don't worry about it.
Dude, personality might be enough. Personality might be enough. Brought in those subs, 84th minute. Rashford, he was in the zone. He was just like a man possessed. He was dribbling past everybody. He wanted his hat trick. He got a shot blocked. It was like, it almost looked like the Newcastle goal where he was like pivot, shot, goal. But it got blocked. And then, sir, in the 85th minute.
It's onside. Through the middle to Martial. Challenged by Savicic. And the penalty is given. Leipzig and caught out by this rapid Manchester United break.
Well, Vought on the line again, but I think he's on. Savicic gets a bit of the ball. Does he get the man first here as he ploughs in? Yeah, he does. No, that's a penalty. Not Fernandes.
Martial's taken a few in his time at Old Trafford, and he fires this one in. It is 4-0, and it gets better and better for the Old Trafford team that have had so many problems on this ground this season.
Yeah, Glashy.
Sir, it says a lot about the mentality of this team. Just like Bruno, Marcus, the fact that they both gave up the goal. Could have been Marcus's hat trick, could have been Bruno's another goal. He wants it right. So Martial can get on the scoreboard. Great goal from him. Get him off and running because he needed one.
Sir, $50 million down the drain. Tony Martial, he scores again. That's the game, and I love it. This is, we're seeing the ingredients, sir. The players are not selfish. This is a team environment. Pay attention.
And teams win, bro. You know, it's like individuals make up a good team, but this team is starting to play like a team first. And I think, you know, we have often had individual performances that have stood out. But really today, it was like, it was just a combination. Same with PSG. It was just the whole team was playing well. So much so that, like, obviously, Marcus, man of the match, so obvious because we're about to talk about his cherry on top. But everybody was standing out, which is what is, like, so exciting about this team is everyone's looking good.
Yeah. You know, tide raises all boats, sir.
Exactly.
Tide raises all boats.
Speaking of which,
it's a hungry Martial. It's good for the squad.
Certainly is. 87th minute. Cavani did get his goal, but he was offsides, unfortunately. Still waiting for that. And then in the 92nd minute, give Marcus that game ball.
Fernandes. Martial. They're going for the fifth. And Rashford gets his hat-trick. And there is the 5. But 3 for substitute Marcus Rashford. That's a leaf out of Solskjaer's own book as a player.
Yeah, fair play to Anthony Martial here. Picking out the pass at the right time. His first touch, maybe not what he intended, just popping up off his toe, but it pops up perfectly for the half volley. Such was the power from that range. He's never gonna miss. Galashi just cannot keep that one out. And yeah, what an end to the night.
Kind of like a ridiculous goal. Pops, almost like does a pop-up semi-volley, just like smashes it home. Man on a mission, Marcus Rashford. That's the game. Gets his hat trick off the bench, Ole style. What a game, sir. 5-0. RB, whoo!
Yeah, oh, what a night, sir. Marcus Rashford with the hattie. It's almost like everything he's doing off the pitch is raising his game on it. You love to see it. Like I said, the tide raises all boats. I'm sure all the players in that locker room, when they see Marcus champion those school meals for young kids in England, you know, trying to put pressure on Parliament there for a great cause. It's got to make everyone feel better. And especially, you know, you want to talk about leadership. It starts off the pitch, sir, as well as on it. And Marcus Rashford leading both off of it and on it. An absolute class act. A gem at Manchester United. He came up through the academy, sir. And what a player, what a person, Marcus Rashford, MBE, sir. Soon to be Sir Marcus.
Sir, he's most certainly. Yeah, welcome on pod anytime. He is the pride of Manchester, one of our own, Weithenshaw Barn. And, dude, he's just, like, taking everything he's done off the pitch and just stepping up his game on the pitch. to another level. I mean, the performances he's had this season already, he was showing a little bit at the end of it last season as well. It's exciting stuff from him. What a player, what a lad, what a gentleman. Marcus Rashford, loving it. We got to get his chant on the board, sir. We got to get his chant on the soundboard.
No, look, the problem with Rashford's chant is it's not like, you know, when you're going to Manchester United, the away stands, it's just not a popular chant. You know, he deserves a better chant.
It's not as popular as it should be. Certainly can say that.
But like, there's a reason. Like, some chants are popular just because they're good, right? You know, some players aren't as good as their chant. Some chants are not as good as the player. Yeah. And Marcus Rashford happens to be one of those players where, you know, Zlatan only played for us for like a season, but his chant is so good, you still hear it, you know?
Yeah, and he was Zlatan.
He was Zlatan. He's not doing bad for AC Milan.
No, he's not. No, he's not, sir. Should we jump into that match reaction?
Absolutely.
So, possession-wise, Manchester United 47% to RB Leipzig's 53%. Shots, United had 14 to Leipzig's 9, but when it counts, on target, United had 7 to Leipzig's 2. They had 5 corners to R2, and we had 18 fouls, they had 20 fouls, sir. So,
yeah, I mean, I would say Ole, tactical genius, he absolutely got it right across the board. The diamond midfield, getting Pogba, Van de Beek, getting the best out of Fred and Modric, as well as the back line. I thought this worked completely well. And it's not easy. I mean, you know, other teams might struggle against RB Leipzig, but, you know, we made it look easy tonight. We made it look easy at home with confidence, and it's kind of like just getting that steamroller out and being like, hey, Arsenal, you ready for this one? Match reaction, Manchester United's victory was Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's 50th match as manager in a UEFA competition, with the Norwegian overseeing 11 wins and 18 matches for Manchester United, 61% win rate.
Not bad.
Marcus Rashford is only the second Manchester United player to score a hat-trick as a substitute after his manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer did so versus Nottingham Forest in February 1999. And RB ain't no Nottingham Forest, sir. And Manchester United kicked off a Champions League campaign with back-to-back wins for only the second time since Sir Alex left the club in 2013, also doing so under Jose Mourinho in 17-18. And RB Leipzig's 5-0 defeat is their heaviest loss in European in their short European history. Again, they were founded in 2009, same year as the Miracle on the Hudson. Sully FC, sir, we told you about it on the last podcast. Despite only making his debut in February 2020, no Manchester United player has registered more assists in all competitions than Bruno Fernandes under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, despite Norwegian taking charge in December 2018. Again, Bruno, our Portuguese Magnifico. Manchester United striker Mason Greenwood scored 6 goals in major European competitions as a teenager, the joint most of any Englishman alongside his teammate Marcus Rashford. Unbelievable. They're both red, sir. They're both Manchester United through and through. You absolutely love to see that. The youth doing great things here in this squad. And Manchester United striker Marcus Rashford became just the 5th player in Champions League history to score a hat-trick as a substitute, though his 27-minute cameo is the fewest number of minutes played while netting a treble in the competition. Rashford setting records on the pitch and off the pitch, sir. Absolutely love this kid. He's got to be the man of the match.
There only could be one man of the match, Paul. I mean, I don't even think he needed it because Marcus, unfortunately, just stood so head and shoulders above the rest, coming in 30 minutes and scoring 3 peach goals. What a performance from him. I mean, he just... Dude, just lightning, just shredding RB apart.
Sir, but what do we know? Let's hear from the main man, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Sir, he's smiling ear to ear.
Ole, to start with, it was nice to see Marcus get his hat-trick, particularly after Anthony Martial took the penalty in the end as well. But what can you tell us about your thoughts on Marcus's performance this evening? Paul Scholes is saying that if he continues with that kind of attitude, goals, and you're looking at 25 goals in the season.
Now is not the time to think about how many goals you're going to end up with. As long as you concentrate and focus on the next job at hand, training tomorrow. Of course, he only played 30 minutes, so there's one step at a time. And if you get too far ahead of yourself, that's just going to lose. You're going to lose focus. I think Marcus has showed that he can keep focusing on what's important, both on and off the pitch at the moment. So he did really well today, of course, coming off the bench.
Simon Page.
Hello, mate.
Hiya. Congratulations. That, that felt like a statement victory, and I think you showed strength and depth off the bench tonight.
Yeah, of course, it's it was a case of using the squad. We had to rest a few players, and I think the ones who came in did brilliant. We had to work hard for this because they really made us work hard off the ball, on the ball as well, because the count, the pressure, the intensity of their play was incredible. And after 2-0, of course, they open up and they go for the goals, and the spaces open up for our fresh legs, because we have fresh legs out there. And of course, it's very good to know for the players that we have a strong squad to pick from.
There you go. Ole, Mr. Nice Guy. No reason not to be smiling today. It was a great performance from the lads. Shut them down. But he was right. First half, you know, they were certainly in the game.
No, and he mentioned their press, and the threat was there, you know, but when you kind of go all in and you throw in the kitchen sink, you know, in the first half with that hot shot Willy Wonka suit, it goes bad, you know, you lose big. I mean, that's just the way, you know, he's playing FIFA ball. That's the way it goes. And, you know, it's going to be interesting group, checking in with Group H here. The standings, Manchester United, 6 points. After two matches, PSG 3, RB Leipzig with 3, and Istanbul with 0. We play Istanbul in Turkey next, sir. And then the RB Paris game, that will be very telling as far as, you know, who will be second place. We can't rest on our laurels, although Istanbul, who are you? I think we'll get 9, and then it's really going to come down to PSG at home, playing RB away, and then beating Istanbul at home. So if we can beat Istanbul twice, 12 points, we're in. I like to see us win the group, obviously, for seeding purposes and confidence. But, you know, I think PSG at Old Trafford, we owe them one, right? After they came in and beat us when we were there.
I certainly do think so. And I certainly think it's even, you know, more so after we beat them this season. And I think the boys are going to have a lot of confidence that they're just as good, if not better, than this PSG side. And that will just give them more confidence at home. I do not think, speaking of which, we should underestimate Istanbul. So they did not look bad today against PSG. Maybe it's because PSG just looked like rubbish. But Rafael, your boy, is in that squad. So they got some firepower. I mean, like, it's going to be, you know, traveling to Turkey is going to be a little cheeky, as things are. It'd be cheekier if they had fans in the stadium, of course. But they're not a guaranteed 3 points, sir.
No, 3 points are given. I got the number 2 Rafael kit. You know, he's one of my favorite Manchester United players of all time. I stole a rocket. And, you know, he's a player. Should never got rid of him. LVG, you know, he got rid of a lot of players. Looking around the Champions League, around the Champions League universe, other teams who have won 2 after the first 2, Barcelona, not Chelsea. Chelsea's group is a riot, and they're not even doing well. Liverpool have won, City have won 2 of 2, and Bayern Munich. So we're in the Bayern Munich, City, Liverpool, Barcelona, Manchester United. That's just kind of like it should be, right?
And who'd we beat?
The old days.
And who'd we beat? Who'd they beat? And who'd we beat? So I, you know,
that's true.
And we'd be the best team. Arguably, we'd be the best two teams of anyone that you just mentioned.
Sir, we haven't won the Champions League yet.
I know. I'm just giving credit where credit's due, sir. Two for two, baby.
I know. Like if you looked around Manchester United Twitter, you know, you think you just say call it, give
call
us a trophy.
Stick a fork in it, baby. I believe the odds for Futures United to win the Champions League +2400, sir. I think they're gonna move. That was pre-Leipzig win, so they're definitely going to tighten a little bit.
Look, I like to be an underdog. I just like us to go deep.
Yeah,
you know, I like a run, sir. You need, because you always know playing in Europe, even if you're a great team, there's tight fixtures, and you need some luck. You need to steal one away in Spain. You need to like defend at home. It's always nervy. There's always that one tie in the Champions League that was like, I think the Porto away goal with Ronaldo hitting from 40 yards, that goal was what we went through. You know, it's always difficult in Europe, and at any night, any team can beat any team, home or away. So it's about just pipping people. I think we've done a good job in the group stage, but I need a deep run when the elimination is on.
No, we had some deep runs last year, right? 3 semifinals. We got to go home and get it now. We got to get some finals and we got some cups.
No Champions League semifinals.
I know. Europa League, FA Cup, and Carabao Cup. No, I agree. It's not a Champions League final, of course, sir. But making progress, and we need to get to a final. We need to win some silverware, is all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, but don't you think we've come at least, you know, you compare last season to this season. Don't you think we've come a long way from losing to Sevilla?
This team just, I mean, since Ole, even since the PSG win, sir, this team looks like a much better squad than that team that beat PSG 3-1.
Yep. Yeah, no, and I but that's the thing. It's the parts are there, and we need the confidence, and today we had the confidence. That, like, you know, I love the bench players making the impact, like Bruno on the bench coming on, just bossing the game, because it's like you get better. But we got better as the game went on. And that's a theme we're going to see, which is Ole doesn't have to start every single player in the team. That's why people questioning why is Donny on the bench. It's like, well, Donny comes out and then Bruno comes on in the 70th and then it's game over. And I really like that, you know, rotation mentality where you can kind of make those super subs and switch it up, because RB's tired. They've been pressing the whole game. They can't catch Marcus.
No, they can't. And we have to remember that Rome wasn't built in the day, sir, is that, like, Ole is getting better and these players are getting better and he's understanding how to make certain systems and lineups fit better under, you know, the situations that they're looking at. So we got to give the man time. Like, the fact that, like, there were floating Poch rumors weeks ago because they lost a couple opening games is, like, ridiculous. And that just, like, speaks to the media, but we need to just keep our heads. It's a long season, a lot of games to be had. I'm not saying we're winning the league, winning the Champions League, but Ole needs time, deserves time.
No, absolutely. But do you think Pochettino watches every Manchester United match or what?
Maybe. He's a fan. Who wouldn't be a fan of this club? Greatest club in the history of clubs, sir.
All right, sir. Speaking of great clubs, we got a next match. An old school rival, sir. Manchester United versus Arsenal. The Gunners. They killed Gunnersaurus. No longer. They killed Mesut Ozil. No longer. He's donating meals as well. Shout out to Mesut Ozil. It's a shame to see any all-star just get kind of thrown out of a team. They got the Arteta running the show, you know, Pep's, you know, right-hand man at Arsenal. Everyone anointing him after he won the FA Cup that he's sort of the next coming of Pep Guardiola. And they've been on the slide, sir. Six matches, they've only won two. They won one in Europa League and they beat Sheffield United. Otherwise, they got pipped by Leicester. They got beat by City, sir. It's a weak Arsenal side, low on confidence coming in. And I think United, this is, like you said, you can win big in Europe. Everything's cheeky. Everything's going, coming up roses in the Champions League. But the league is where our bread is buttered. And it's time we strut 4-0 on Arsenal. It's time we strut 3-0 on Chelsea. This is what we need. We need these results in the league because we got to be telling England, start sending shots. We're coming for that title. That's what we need. We need a sniff of a title race, sir. We're dying for that as fans and as a club. We just need to know we're in it.
Yeah, I think we're a ways away from that, mainly because we're not even talking about our own rules, which is don't look at the table at the gym. But I think you need a statement in the league to say, like, United are fucking back, mate, and, like, start by, like, beating down this overhyped Arsenal side. Is overhyped. You got more money. They spent more money than Ole, baby. He got Thomas Partey, very good CDM. But they don't look terrific start of the season. They're going to want to get a big win. They're going to know. They're going to show up against United. You know they're going to play decently well because they're going to want to make a statement win against Manchester United. Who wouldn't? Teams always do, especially when they're coming to OT. So we need to go out and just slap them around because we are better than Arsenal. We are a mile better than Arsenal with this squad playing the way they've been playing. Sir, it's going to be hard picking 11.
No, I totally agree. But I was saying is, like, in order, like, we're not gonna look at the table till January. But you want to be at the top of the table in January. So, like, it starts now. It starts in the league now. Like, you need to go on a run in the league so you can start piling up those points so that you're in it in January. And that's what we're dying for. We're dying for being relevant for the title, not top four. That's what I really think we need to focus on, sir. The game, it's at home, OT. Sunday, November 1st, 8:30 a.m. Pacific, 11:30 a.m. Eastern. I got some beef. You're going on vacation again, sir. I'm not going to be watching the game with you. You know I'm going to be hooting and hollering.
Hooting!
We got to do another virtual podcast. You're killing me, sir. How many vacations does this guy need?
It's not a vacation. It's like, come on. It's like one of the first vacations in, like, the COVID year, sir. It's the wife's birthday. We're going away. And the universe is punishing me, sir, because the place doesn't even have a freaking TV, so I gotta watch on my laptop. So there you go. I'll be watching. Yeah. Is it Peacock, or are they gonna watch NBC Sports or Low White?
It's not like I check that, you know.
Well, either way, you're gonna have, like, Graham Lasso, Lee Dixon. And Arlo White just humming it up, sir. But, you know, if it's available on Telemundo, do yourself a favor.
No, and that's kind of where I'll probably watch it. But at the same time, you know, I'm only kidding. But, you know, people that are fans of the pod, it's like, sir, the pod's so great in person. The last pod, so much fun to do it in person, watch the games together. This guy going on retreats here with no TVs. What do you mean? What's going on here?
Sir, we're going to do the pod in person Sunday night. You know what? We'll be back. It's 8:30 Sunday morning. We'll do an evening pod, hopefully talking about a massive win, 5-0 against Arsenal, just smoking them.
Sir, all right. I might be able to make it. Look, Arsenal, what are we worried about? We've won 99 times against them lifetime, drawn 49, lost 84. Again, big rival of ours when Wenger and Sir Alex were at the helm. United have only won one of the previous 5 meetups with the Gunners in the league, losing 2 and drawing 2, sir. They famously beat us before that big slide 2 seasons ago. We haven't been able to pip them. I mean, for some reason, I think we've outplayed them, but they've been doing better than us in the league, and we've got to kind of crush that on Sunday. A little history here. 2 clubs played against each other for the first time in October 1884, drawing 3-3 in League 2. Arsenal was founded in 1886. Sir, a little history here in 1886. The American pharmacist John Pemberton invents carbonated beverages, and the one that he did was Coca-Cola. He invented Coca-Cola, sir. They still don't know the recipe. It's lock and key. Haven't drank much Coca-Cola lately. You know, I could go for one. And then Yorkshire Tea was established as well. Not quite Sully FC, Coca-Cola FC.
Yorkshire Tea FC, sir, dating back to the 19th century. You have to give some credit where credit due. Arsenal, they're one of the big three, you know, us, Liverpool, and then them in terms of titles and silverware. So haven't been that relevant since Wenger and since they basically had their own Glazers come in and just like rob the club lines. What?
Who?
Wenger. Wenger, sir. I believe that's how you spell his name. I'm doing the paella of Wenger.
I absolutely love that.
Yeah, thank you.
They were the Arsenal, little history. They were named after the heart of Royal Arsenal Complex. Obviously, the Gunners, given their Arsenal. The club has won 13 league titles, not too shabby, 14 FA Cups, 2 League Cups, 16 FA Community Shields, 1 European Cup Winners' Cup, and 1 Inter-Cities Fair Cup, sir. I don't see a Champions League on there.
I don't. I do not. I don't think they don't have one. They didn't win it, so they don't have that. But they do have Rexosaurus. What was their dinosaur that got like the shit canned over the summer?
Gunnersaurus.
Yeah, poor guy. Out of a job.
No, and they cut a bunch of people. Mesut Ozil. His agent clapped back against that as well. A little tactics on Arsenal. Arteta played the 3-4-3 against Leicester. They did lose 1-0. They were kind of nullified there. Jamie Vardy got the winner late. Lacazette up top with Aubameyang on the right. So, you know, you're looking at Luke Shaw on the left nullifying that. They got Saka on the left. Ceballos. And Partey, like you mentioned earlier, their big signing in the 2. I think Ole should play the diamond, right? You're going to try to exploit the space in the middle of the pitch. If they're going to play something like the 4-3-3, Arteta could change it up. Ole might just go with his classic 4-2-3-1. I don't really see him playing 3 at the back here. What do you make of the tactic side of it?
I mean, 3 at the back could be interesting, and just looking to counter their speed. I like going for strength and doing the 4-2-3-1. I think when Bruno came in, that was like kind of the team you wanted to see in this game, is 2 holding midfielders, maybe Bruno and Pogba, and then 2 strikers, whether they're Martial and Marcus. So, sir, can't wait to play Gunners because they've gotten all this bullshit luck. They got like some of these like, you know, circus goals, deflection, and they got the Aubameyang one that was offside. That was also like a bullshit goal as well. So they're due. They're due for a bad loss because we are a better team than them.
Sir, you got the Aubameyang pronunciation right on. I'm going to call that.
I was due, sir. I'm due.
My friend is the Aubameyang.
How do you say the center back's name on RB Leipzig, sir?
I already forgot, sir.
I told you. It's hard, bro. There's a lot of names in football. There's a lot of names.
Yeah, I was going to try, and I'm actually just not. I'm going to defer the next podcast on that one. I'm going to take a pass. Physioroom.com. Injuries for Manchester United. Baye's out. Martial is suspended again. That red. This is his last match. He's missing. Jesse Lingard. He's out because he's impersonating Pogba on Instagram. And Phil Jones is out long term. So, you know, as far as injury goes, we are good to go. You know, on injuries, a lot of availability. You love to see it early in the season, sir. Given those injuries, given you know what Arteta is going to show up with, what is your lineup?
Oof, my lineup, sir, here we go. It's going to be Dave Saves in net. World number one certainly looks like it these days. Back four, EWB, Twanzebe, Maguire, and Shaw. That's the new center-back pairing I want to see. Midfield of Fred McTominay and Pogba, and then a front three of Bruno, Rashford, and Greenwood, sir. So I'm going to rest Martial and play Bruno, Rashford, and Greenwood up front.
Yeah, but where are you going to play Bruno? That's the question.
Bruno's going to be 10. I'm going to play Pogba on the left. I'm going to play Marcus up front, and I'm going to play Greenwood on the right.
What? So you're playing a diamond?
4-2-3-1.
So is Bruno going to be on the right?
He's going to be at number 10, sir. 4-2-3-1. So I'm going to have Fred McTominay as my two holding midfielders. I'm going to have Bruno at 10. I'm going to have Pogba on the left. And I'm going to have Marcus up front and Greenwood on the right. Yeah.
Okay, so Pogba is going to be on the left wing.
Yes, sir.
All right, I can guarantee you that's not going to happen on Sunday.
Me, sir.
Jumping into my lineup here. Dave Saves world number one in net. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Maguire, Lindelof, Shaw back four. We're doing the diamond, sir. McTominay, Pogba on the left, Fred on the right. Then Bruno in the hole, Rashford, Greenwood, two up front, sir. I think I will see something like that. Booking the bookies. Manchester United are heavy favorites here, plus 105 to win. The draw, plus 260. Arsenal win, plus 260. I think that makes a lot of sense. First goal scoring odds for Manchester United, Bruno Fernandes, plus 500. Cavani, Rashford, Ighalo, the same. Greenwood, plus 650. Donny van de Beek, plus 1,000. The little trick there, the bookies have pulled. Aubameyang is the number one odds-on favorite to score first. Plus 450, sir. I think that's insult to injury there. I definitely think it's going to be Bruno Fernandes from the penalty spot. What do you make of that?
Yeah, it could be him. It might be Marcus Rashford. He looks to be the most informed player at the moment at Manchester United. In those last 30 minutes, who's going to stop him on Arsenal?
that's a very good point. Is it David Luiz? I don't know.
I mean, Gabriel is pretty quick, but we also have a bunch of other quick guys, and hopefully it is David Luiz. That would be great.
All right. What's your score prediction, sir?
It's a 3-0. We're going to thump the Gunners at home. They're going to go the way of Gunnersaurus. Put them to bed.
I'm going to say 2-1. We'll give up a goal. Maybe Aubameyang scores first. We score two. You win it. Again, 3 points. That's what I'm focused on. We need to be stepping over teams like Arsenal in the league, really stamping our place here. We got the confidence. We got the momentum. It's really time we get the 3 points, sir. We need that more than anything.
We do. It's because the league, everyone's still talking shit about United, where we are on the table, thinks we're not, you know, forgets where we finished last season, even though that was like, what, 2 months ago. So a big statement win, important against a team that's getting a lot of credit for whatever they're doing. I don't know. They're apparently playing really good football, even though the results aren't showing it. So we need this win at home, and we march on from there.
Absolutely, sir. We have a next segment coming up here. United in the news. Manchester United star Alex Telles misses RB Leipzig clash due to positive COVID-19 test. Thoughts and prayers are with Alex Telles. Hopefully he feels better. I was looking for his name on the lineup. I thought he was going to start. Telles, sir.
No, I thought it was. I mean, I figured something was up when he wasn't featuring at all. You know, he wasn't even on the squad. So it is COVID. That's a huge bummer, especially because he's not going to be able to train with the squad for 2 weeks. He's going to have to self-quarantine. And, you know, we hope he comes out of it with no long-lasting effects as well. So that's a bummer because nobody wants COVID.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Paul Pogba had COVID. He was fine. I think Telles, as long as he has no symptoms, obviously he'll be fine. He's healthy. He's young. The one thing is it kind of took Pogba a while to get over it. I think it's something that you kick early, but then to get back to 100% might take a few weeks depending on the case. So again, kind of a blow here. We did miss this in the injury report. It wasn't updated, but Telles probably, you know, out for a week and then coming back, you got to watch his fitness. Might take him a while to get up and going again. Which, I mean, he looked great coming on. It's a little bit of a shame. But right now, Luke Shaw is doing his job. The impossible meat pie looks fit, and he's playing every game.
He is, and he's playing some of the best football he's played at United. So, but inevitably, injuries are going to happen. We're going to need Telles back, but it's a good point. The return from COVID is a bit of a road because look, it took Paul Pogba, you know, 4 weeks, 6 weeks to get back into fitness after battling back that. So hopefully it's a little bit quicker for Alex Telles.
Absolutely. And Manchester United, next bit of news here. Manchester United say Old Trafford are ready to safely hold 23,000 fans when stadiums reopen per Sky Sports. Manchester United are obviously saying, hey, we're ready to make money.
We want to sell some meat pies and some beers. Let us do it.
You want a nothing burger. I mean, like, Manchester United putting out the fact that they're, like, ready.
We're ready. We're ready.
To accept money from fans to sit in the stands during the winter. Look, 23,000, I think that's ambitious. You know, I don't know exactly what the plans are. Maybe it's more like 10 or 15, but the way things are going in Europe at the moment with the coronavirus – there's few things I agree with Ed Woodward on. And on the investor call, he said, if you can sit on a plane for 5 hours, you can't sit outside in a stadium safely distanced from other fans wearing a mask. I would have to agree. You know, it's one of those things where it's good for the game to get the fans back in some sort of capacity. I'm sure he just doesn't want to take off the sponsorships that are on the seats. You know, that's more of his motivation. But, you know, it can be done. I think it should be done. It's time we kind of get back to a little normal with some fans appropriately distanced in the States. We've seen it in the United States, obviously more in the southern states with better weather. It's not quite as cold in the UK, but you know, I think it can be done.
Yeah, I think it could be done. The problem is the timing right now. It's like a tough time, right? Didn't they just enact like bigger lockdowns in Germany? I'm sure more are coming in the UK. So I think at the moment they just want to weather this kind of like initial. There's another wave coming, so let's get through the next couple of weeks. Let's try not shut down football again. That would be my number one priority. I hate to say that. Let's wait for fans. I do want to see fans in the stadium. I think you can do it safely, but I think you want to make sure that we don't have another hiccup where we lose 3 months of football.
Oh, no. At no case do we want to lose any football. I just don't think the fans are going to create any issues for the players. You know, I just think it'd be good for morale to kind of get them back. Kind of get back to some normalcy, and as well as the club needs it. You know, I'm not a fan of Manchester United losing cash and not doing well. Their stock's getting hammered again. It's a tough outlook, but I think it can be done in some capacity. I'm thinking more 10,000. I don't know. A 20,000 sounds – that's almost every three seats.
No, that is. Yeah, that is every three seats, right?
Seems aggressive. It seems like Ed Woodward needs the cash.
He does, but the only thing that concerned me really is like everyone will be wearing masks inside. It's like when they went to go get beverages or they go through the hallways, bathrooms. That's a lot of people, you know. Anyway, sir.
There's not a lot of insulation at Old Trafford. It's cold, sir.
Which is good, actually. No, it's not good. That's not good because the half-life is longer. Anyway, they probably should wait, sir. They probably should wait a little bit longer. Get those numbers down. Yeah.
But like you, it's like you got to read the tea leaves. You know, Manchester United doesn't come out with this article and pushing it all press because they're trying to just like be nice. They're dying, dude. They need this to happen. They're trying to be the tip of the spear. They're trying to urge the government to do something, and they're being a little selfish because the Glazers taking that dividend. If they didn't take that dividend, then they wouldn't need to do stuff like this. So you kind of ask yourself questions like, what is the motive here? The motive is money. That's why they're focused on this. That's why they're pushing it, sir. Money, money, money. Next bit of news here. Manchester United are ready to give AC Milan playmaker Hakan. You're trolling me here. Alex puts together the news. Kaal Hangulu, a lucrative 5-year contract with the San Siro star, to stand off and talks over extending his deal after being unhappy with the £54,000 a week offer. Sir, you got to give me the deal here. I haven't watched the YouTube videos with the emo music. I hope you have.
I haven't. You know, I just I want to make sure I can bring enough Muppetry to this pod as possible. I got some flack for not bringing in enough transfer rumors about, you know, players that we're attached to. Here's a rumor. It's most likely him trying to get a new contract. I don't know a lot about Hakan, but he's supposed to be a good player, top young player in Italy. Here, heard a lot about him through the grapevine. Don't know anything about it. It's probably nothing, Berger, sir. He's probably just like his agent talk. Manchester United, that's good to get a new contract in my home club.
Sir, I'm just going to tell you, you know, the rule of the podcast is like, you know, you put it in the news section. You got to watch the emo YouTube videos of the player. look, he's a Turkish professional footballer. We're doing it live. So I'm looking it up on my iPhone right now. 5'10", 26 years old. He's pretty good. He played for Hamburg as well. Let me see. He's attacking midfielder as well. I don't know if we need another attacking mid. He plays literally cam.
Another 10
on the left as well. So, you know, for me positionally, I don't think it lines up. I think we have a lot of players there. We need that right winger, you know. So for me, this is just this is a nothing burger, sir. Thank you for putting in the news section via the Daily Mail.
Next bit of news,
Sergio Romero wants his Manchester United contract terminated after being priced out of a deadline day switch from Old Trafford as he weighs up moves to the MLS in Argentina. Romero basically got iced out. Unfortunately, he had a loan deal to Everton. They were going to pay his wages and pay us like, you know, £3 million. Woodward said no, Woodward being stubborn here. And then Romero basically isn't going to get any football. It's a shame to see such a great footballer. He's done such a good job for the club. He never complained. Consummate professional, being treated so poorly by Ed Woodward. And again, this is the side of things that Ed Woodward just doesn't get. You know, as much as what Rashford is doing, you see something like Sergio Romero just not being able to play. I hope he gets the MLS move.
Yeah, so do I. And I would have loved to see him make the Everton move, because I would like to watch him during the week, because Everton shouldn't be considered a rival, man. They're not a top six team. If you give him to City or Liverpool, that's one thing, but they should have allowed him to go join a Premier League team, stay relatively close, right? Liverpool is very close to Manchester, so he doesn't disturb his kids. But Woodward has no class, has no clue, doing everything to make every ex-player hate Manchester United on the way out, so they just talk shit. So what do you expect? Now Romero is going to go from loving his experience to hating it. Thank you, Ed Woodward.
All right, sir. Fan questions. Thank you for all the cheeky banter and everyone who listens to the podcast, interacts with us on Twitter. We love it. We were having some good laughs today about the Willy Wonka suit. It was a riot. jumping in here, sir. There's going to be a lot going on. At Man United DYL, quote, "I know Rashford got his hat trick and Tony needed a goal, but Rashford should have taken the penalty, right?"
I mean, that's what we said when we talked about the penalty. You would have thought, but I think they, this is a team. This ain't a team of individuals. This is a team, and they wanted to give it to Tony because he needed a goal more, and I respect that.
No, and that's what you need to do. You need to spread around the love, and that's kind of how, you know, like – like that's like good feelings in the locker room, and he gets the hat trick, sir. That's how class Rashford is, sir. As far as next tweet at Bilk Stroh, quote, "Marcus Rashford MBE, solid game overall. Maybe the most consistent we played all season so far. The manager needs to use the diamond more, considering the lack of wingers and abundance of midfielders he has in the squad. Let's hope the team can build some consistency on this." Emphasizing the Marcus Rashford MBE. What do you make? Should we use the diamond more?
We might have to. I mean, he does have options, right? You can play Mata in it. You can play all kinds of players in that formation. Let's see. We might be playing it against Arsenal. Might be the trick to gun down the Gunners.
Sir, just a quick note on the MBE for Americans who aren't familiar with it. It is the most excellent order of the British Empire, sir. like, you know, you're going back to the British Empire, son. It's basically a British order of chivalry rewarding contributions to the arts and sciences, work and charitable and welfare organizations. Basically, you can get it via civil service. It was established in 1917 by King George V. There's five classes of it, sir. The two most senior, which make you a knight. Rashford's getting close. He's getting close to that, sir.
He'll get it eventually. Hopefully it's winning another treble with Manchester United gets him it. But if he doesn't get it on the pitch, he'll most certainly earn it off the pitch, because can you imagine him doing all this humanitarian work while he's working a full-time job that is being a top-class footballer? What's he going to do after the fact? He's going to devote his life to this, I would imagine.
No, absolutely. And so he kind of got the lowest level, which is the MBE, and then the highest level would be the GBE, which Sir Alex got, Sir Mac got, Sir Bobby got. So he'll get a Sir. It'll be like a long lineage of Sirs, and Marcus Rashford deserves it. But I just thought I'd a little tangent on the MBE because I didn't know. I had to Google it, Sir. At @blazed_n, quote, Rashford, what a guy on off the pitch. You can't hate him no matter who you support. Ole just outclassed the guy who supposedly should take his spot. Great point.
First I've heard of that. I didn't know he was someone that was going to replace Pochettino. I thought Pochettino was the hot shit.
Julian RB Leipzig's been linked to us. I don't know what universe you're in. He's been linked.
I've known the RB Leipzig DOF being attracted to us, and that fruitless hunt of a DOF that we never got. But I mean, Nagelsmann, maybe. This is suit choices, bro. He wouldn't fit in at United. I'll tell you that.
Sir, I'll send you some articles. How about that?
Okay, do that. The Daily Mail.
So you're not reading the rags enough.
Clearly.
At the Alex Davis 33, quote, ESPN FC filleting Nagelsmann just to get embarrassed by the PE teacher who needs to be sacked is second only to Sir Marcus, proving once again he is absolutely magic, hitting our stride and everything within our reach in Europe and domestically. Let's get some major silverware.
Major.
It's true. ESPN FC saying Nagelsmann Willy Wonka suit is the man, should replace Ole. Ole should be sacked, has no experience, and he just got tactical genius, mate.
Oh my God. You should know better. If you won the Champions League, if you beat Bayern, first of all, you made it to the final. If you made it to the final, beat Bayern, you can show up in that jacket, bro. Tap dance all over Old Trafford. But you show up like that, you deserve 5-0. Should have been more. Should have been 10.
No, absolutely. You boasted on Twitter, Ulrich, shout out to Ulrich, fan of the pod. Quote, blast that Champions League music, sirs. We're back where we belong, teaching European clubs a lesson. Tens all around. Maybe more for Rashi. What a night. This scene far away from that unmentionable game at home. We are back, baby.
We feel like it. We certainly do. It was a huge win. In some ways, it was bigger than PSG because we just like stuck that knife in and really twisted it against a team I think was flying pretty high. And they came in and they thought, like, I don't know. I think they under-respected this United side once again. Another team to do so.
Everyone, this is great. At T-Zolski on Twitter, Sir Marcus Rashford, take a bow. Always at the wheel, let the haters hate. Glory, glory, Man United. Sir, you just said it. They hate us because they ain't us, sir. Hated, adored, never ignored. Manchester United, everyone's always hating. Hate. And I'll love it, sir.
I mean, it brings us together. And it certainly brings the fans of every other club that's not Manchester United together, because they all seem to hate us the most. But you know why? It's because we got the best history. We got the best fans. We got the best we got the best everything. So just like they hate us because they ain't us.
20 times, man.
Chelsea fans making fun of you, bro. Just like laugh at them. Just like, exactly. Sir,
like, come on, have it, dude. All the money you took from the big Russian crook, RB Leipzig, FC Sully, sir. We got insults for them all. They're all coming for us. They all want to beat us. Dude. Hated, adored, never ignored. That's why we have this podcast, because there's nothing like being a Manchester United fan. What a great the fans of this podcast, the fans online, they're amazing, sir. And that's what it is. It's an experience supporting this club, because everyone's coming for you. Always. Everyone wants to see you do well. And that's why when we win like this, you got this community that you can celebrate with, you know, because screw the haters.
Forget the haters, sir. United, we're a family together, backs against the wall, united against the world, but this is a good squad. This is a good squad, sir, and I believe in our manager. I believe in our PE teacher, sir. He might not have the CV, but he's making me a believer.
You know why? Because they always just chat. Yep. Everyone's yipping about our club, so you know, you know, it's like ESPN FC, you know.
They're all bad. ESPN FC, NBC Sports, even CBS. It's like they've all just lost respect for United because we lost Fergie. And you know, we need to get the respect back. It's like respect for Fergie. Remember who we are. We are Manchester United, respect, baby.
Where is it?
I can't even find it, sir. Where's the respect? There it is.
We got a rookie on the soundboard over here. Respect. It's all good.
Respect, man. Respect.
There it is.
At IC1, quote, this was by far the best game by the lads in a while, even better than Paris. By the way, how about Fred tonight? He played amazing again, Fred.
No, I mean, he was just like breaking up everything, tackle after tackle after tackle. Like I said, he doesn't always get that pass forward right, but he was growing in confidence, and I think that's a big part of Fred's game. The better he's playing, he'll just keep putting good performances together, and good on Fred. He just keeps on being undroppable. He looks undroppable at the moment, sir.
Yeah, and at Gordon Fredrich, quote, not a Fred fan, but he was a starter. So many goals. He dominated the midfield today. Hey, sir, that music, it's glory, glory, glorious. So many good things about this tweet. You know, and that's the thing. Is like Fred's playing his way into form. Ole's finding the best formation for him. And, you know, in a two with McTominay, it's a little nervy. You know, the center backs can bail you out. But in that diamond with Pogba and Matic behind him, he looked lights out. At Timber underscore bro. Quote, that's what Manchester United does to teams founded in 2009. Oh,
Sully FC, sir. There you go. They deserve it. RB Monster Energy Drink.
No, I absolutely love the tweets here. Great banter from the fans. At Bohan Boy for Life, quote, Devin, shout out to Devin. You know, we see him on NBC Sports all the time. Devin on the Zoom there.
Fighting the good fight.
Result. Excellent result. Rashford MBE can do no wrong right now. If we could only have the five subs in the Premier League as well. Very happy to see Van de Beek get minutes and see Martial, Greenwood, and Rashford score in the same match. Shout out to Devin. At JM McLiver, quote, loving the early UCL success. It's only a matter of time that Premier League success will catch up, in my opinion. It's wide open. Why not us?
Why
Let's
not?
Keep this train rolling. Love what I'm seeing from the lads right now. Glory, glory, Man United. Hashtag always at the wheel.
We are streaky, sir. We are streaky, you know, and I'm all about it. We need a good streak to start the season. We started with a skid, and now we're starting to get some momentum, and we need to get that going in the league.
No, and that's the whole thing, which is, like, I like that because he's like, right, the Premier League success will come. There's a lot of people moaning about that 0-0 draw at Chelsea. I think there are good takeaways, and it's like this Ferrari, sir, you can do the revving sound, you know, you got it. But it's like, it's going. We might be hitting third gear against Arsenal. You never know. At Michael72, quote, absolutely buzzing. What a game. It says a lot about a team when they let Martial take that pen. That's true. It says a lot about the locker room. They're really starting to gel as a team with many unselfish players. Shout out to Bruno as well with that Cavani one. We are in the driver's seat for the group. Let's go. P.S. We should really buy up a Meccano. He's a top player.
He is. You know, he got caught out by some top players on our side. But I think wearing Manchester United red and coached by this manager, he would be a top center back. He'd also be a top center back in England. He's got the pace. He's got the power. He just needs to play for a proper side.
All right, last tweet here at Ty Kircher, quote, European Knights, hot damn, it's wonderful. Ole got the tactics and sub spot on. Lads were aggressive, clean sheet. Marcus Rashford ends child hunger and RB Leipzig at the same time. Sir Marcus, top of the group. OT would be bouncing if fans were back. Glory, glory, Man United. Hashtag Glazers out. Hashtag Woodward out, sir. That's the pod. Ending on a high note. Great banter from all the fans on Twitter. We appreciate you for listening, downloading the podcast. The pause for fans by fans. We do it for the love of this club, sir. This one thing about being a United fan is, you know, there's the highs and the lows, but those highs, sir,
they don't taste so good if you don't have the lows. And that's the same with life, and it's the same with football, and it's the same with this great club, Manchester United. Unless you have the Moyes years, unless you have the dark, dark Mourinho years. I'm not saying this has gotten rosy quite yet, but, you know, I think we deserve it. We're due some success, and Ole's the man to bring it. It might be the man to bring it to us, so I'm certainly excited. A lot to play for, and I do think this league is certainly wide open. It is wide open.
Sir, we've played 9 games. We've gone from Ole out, Poch in, to now we're on a tear, beating PSG, RB Leipzig, like you said. It's, like, all over the place, but as fans – you love to see it. You love the momentum. You love the wins. You love to celebrate. So the highs are high. We love it. Kicking on Arsenal. Arteta, sir. Slop him around the pitch. I ain't worried about no Arsenal. The Gunnersaurus.
Poor man's Poch. Poor man's Poch, sir. Ain't no Poch. No, ain't got no Poch budget either.
Look, the podcast for fans by fans. Again, we're doing it virtual because we try to get as many pods out as possible. Alex and I both dads. Lots going on, sir. So we appreciate you guys putting up with the audio. It's not always as good when we do it via Skype, but we prefer to get more out there just because there's so many games going on right now. If you want to support the pod, it's just us two, sir. We do everything, the audio, the social media. You can check out our online store at AmericanRedDevils.com. Also, we have some amazing fan-generated content on the blog as well. Shout out to everyone who contributes. That's what this is about. It's about getting that biased fan take of Manchester United out there. The ups and the downs, everything in between. If you can't part with some cold hard cash for some merchandise, write a review on iTunes. We're shipping out free stickers. That's how everyone finds us at the moment. Our fan survey said iTunes organic search was how everyone found the pod. And if we have good reviews, it gives us a boost, sir, up in the ranking. So 5 stars, some cheeky banner. We absolutely love it. It takes 2 seconds. It goes a long way to help the pod, sir. We have some downloads last 7 days. Get us those cities.
Number one, how you doing? How you doing? It's a new entry. It's Cairo, Egypt. Appreciate you. Number two, Brooklyn, New York. Rogers, Arkansas. Jar, Norway. How you doing? LA, California. Houston, Texas. Bothell, Washington. San Pedro, California. St. Louis, Missouri. And last but not least, Oslo, Norway. Appreciate the downloads. Not far down is also Dublin, Ireland. Appreciate all the Irish Reds listening around the world. American Red Devils, Manchester United, greatest in English football. We want it all, sir. Are we back?
Sir, there's a lot of Norway on the board. I'm seeing a lot of Norway on the board.
I like it.
Ole streaky. I think we're back. Are you Ole's at the wheel.
How good does it feel? Everybody knows.
Tell me how good does it feel? We got Sanchez, Buffalo.